This is a CBC podcast.
New Zealand has a predator problem, and it's so bad the country has decided they're pulling out all the scientific stops to make the country predator-free by 2050. Well, New Zealand is considering the use of a cutting-edge and controversial technique to get rid of pesky predators. It's called a gene drive. Basically, a gene drive forces a genetic change through an entire population, rendering them unable to reproduce. And you can't be a predator if you can't reproduce. Joining me now from Dunedin, New Zealand, to discuss this is Dr. Neil Gemmell. He's a professor of reproduction and genomics and part of New Zealand's biological heritage group that's working to get the country predator-free by 2050. Dr. Gemmell, welcome to Quirks and Quarks.
Yeah, thanks very much, Bob. Nice to be here.
Now, we'll get to the gene drive in a second, but what kind of methods have you already tried to get rid of these invasive predators in New Zealand?
Oh, we've tried pretty much everything that's in the arsenal already. So we use traps and we use poisons, a very large quantity of poisons actually across landscape scale. So imagine poisons being deployed across the forest in Canada by helicopter across a grid pattern with military precision. That's what we do here to control particularly possum pests, rodents, and also stoats and weasels and ferrets, as Nicola had mentioned. So that's our main tool at the moment, and it works, but it's time-consuming, it's costly, and there are some concerns about the use of such toxicants in the environment, you know, because there are residual effects from those poisons, which may also harm our native birds as well as the mammals we're trying to control.
What other solutions are on the table?
Yeah, well, I guess as you said in your intro, what we're starting to talk about now is the idea of using some form of genetic technology to target the vulnerabilities of particular species. This might be vulnerabilities to particular diseases, which are species specific. This might be vulnerabilities in terms of their fertility. So if we can target their fertility, then obviously they can't produce offspring. And if they can't produce offspring, then the population ultimately will start to decline. And those are the sorts of the tools that we're starting to focus on as potential long-term solutions to our pest problem.
Well, just in general terms, what's a gene drive?
Okay, so a gene drive, I think you eloquently pointed out that it's effectively a way to push a particular gene through a population. Let me give you a quick example here. So we both know that in humans, sex is determined by the Y chromosome. So if you have an X and a Y, you're male, and if you have two X's, you're female. And in normal circumstances, when a couple have a child, there's a 50-50 chance of each. Now, let's imagine that there is a way to push through one of those chromosomes, either the X or the Y, so that the outcome is not random, so that the outcome would be that you'd produce predominantly male or female offspring. That's what we're talking about with the gene drive. We're talking about a way to influence the inheritance of particular parts of our DNA so that those traits are passed on beyond the 50-50. And in some instances, what we seem to be able to achieve now is a sort of a 90 to 10 ratio. So, for example, there are colleagues working in the US and I think in Australia who are able now to develop mice that can pass on genes beyond the normal levels of inheritance, beyond that 50-50, maybe to an instance where 9 out of 10 individuals carry the gene of interest.
So you're saying that gene drive can actually force the sex of the offspring of a particular animal?
Well, yes. So the gene drive itself won't influence sex, but if you link it to a gene which is known to determine sex, then you could potentially produce populations of individuals that are predominantly one sex. And in this instance, people are talking about making them predominantly male. And females are generally the limiting factor in population growth. So if we produce predominantly male offspring, then there are, relatively few females, and they're always producing male offspring, then the population will go extinct relatively rapidly, according to mathematical models.
What are your main concerns about using genetics to get rid of a population of animals?
One issue is whether individuals in the environment can select or choose mates. It may be that the individuals that we produce that are genetically modified, wild animals can tell them apart, and maybe they don't want to be with them or mate with them, and that wouldn't work either. So there's a couple of aspects around biology that we need to be mindful of. And then I'm not neglecting, but probably the biggest issue here is the social acceptability of these technologies, Bob. So, you know, there's a lot of people who are saying gene drives are very powerful and they can be used in lots of different contexts in conservation biology. And there's also an increasingly vocal group that is saying, hang on a minute, these gene drive technologies are potentially dangerous, and once they're out of the box, how do we control them? And I think that's a conversation that has to be had. I'm cautiously optimistic about the prospects of using the technology, but I think we need to understand the risks.
Some critics of the gene drive say that, quote, conservation means caring for the natural world, not re-engineering it. What do you think of that?
Well, you know, so we've already re-engineered the natural world here in New Zealand. I mean, I'm not talking about going to a preservationist framework. I'm talking more restoration. But, you know, mammalian pests here in New Zealand were deliberately introduced for reasons which made sense 150 years ago, but now we would look at that with a completely different lens and go, well, that was just silly. So I would suggest that our use of gene drives is caring for the natural world, because we need to protect what is unique to this country.
Dr. Gemmell, thank you very much for your time.
Look, you're very welcome, Bob. It's been a delight talking to you. Thank you very much.